308-8867 or out of town 1-866-308-8867. Did you have something you were going to
say? This paper made me mad today.
Oh, man.
About the grapes.
Let's start it out. Did you read that?
I did read it. The only, I can't even
remember.
Didn't make me as mad as I thought it would make you, but they kind of, they're talking about they talk about A&M not being enthusiastic about grapes. And then the other thing is kind of the magic line where grapes work below this line.
Yeah,
and they
I
don't
got
work.
All that emphasized in here. Now, before we start talking about grapes, this applies. I've been here long enough, and I when I first came, I sought out people that had been gardening in this area, and basically in horticulture research and experiment station and extension for the last 70 years. And all horticulture industries cycle. They have about a 50-year cycle where people try to reinvent the wheel. And I was interested in grapes because I was up in Kansas and we worked with some of the grapes, but not the wine grapes. We worked with the grapes that would grow. And when I first came, I started talking to Mr. Ernest Mortensen, who used to be the superintendent out at the Winter Garden Experiment Station, in which serviced basically the South Central Texas area. And they worked a lot with John Nance Gardner, brought in date palms and a lot of other things. And you could name any crop, and he would tell you why it wasn't useful to grow here. They had tried it, you know, they had experimented with it, and it determined why it wouldn't grow it. Grapes were his main study. Now, this is 70 years ago. This is 70 years ago.
70 years.
70 years ago.
70.
And he even developed and named some grape root stocks. And they went through the same thing. They started trying to grow grapes here. As this article indicates, there were grapes grown here. Qualia's nursery out at in Del Rio is over 100 years old. Been producing grapes over 100 years in this area with no problems because they produce Texas native grapes that are somewhat resistant to Pierce's disease. This disease he refers to. By the way, this is on the business page and section L in today's paper. And he also talked about the monks, that when they came here, they started producing grapes and wines here, as they have in San Antonio. Since Crockett rode into town, they were growing grapes here in San Antonio. So what's the problem? They were growing native grapes.
I love the description of wine, too.
Yeah.
You just push the juice out, and it spoils, and you got wine.
But anyway, so then along come some people that drank the wine connoisseurs, kind of like we were talking about the salad connoisseurs. And they said, well, we want to produce a wine like California. Mm. And these are usually ultra-rich people. They've got a lot more dollars than they got cents. You know what I'm telling you?
Uh-oh.
And so they're wanting your advice, but they ain't listening.
Ah.
They're wanting your advice, but they ain't listening.
They want your advice on how to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Not whether or not they should do.
Yeah. And see, that was the key with Dr. Laura Shreve. Anybody could come to him about growing anything. You know, can we grow cyclamens outdoors in Minnesota? Well, you know, probably if you do, but yet Calvin's major professor had the other tack. He felt that he was obligated, Dr. Calvin Lyons, was obligated to try to save these people, literally millions and millions of dollars.
Well, and he, Calvin, never took a class in diplomacy. Yeah, charm school was not part of his study.
Oh, okay.
and so with that
buildup now, what did the article say?
This article is talking about
why
they're having such a tough time growing wine or grapes for wine in this area. And they're just appalled that they can't do it. They rent same, all these rich millionaires.
Oh.
the people with more dollars than they got cents.
Right.
And they got the idea, people like this have the idea, that if they got enough money, they can overcome cotton root rot and Pierce's disease and things that people have been trying to beat for 100 years.
100 years.
And have we're not one step closer today.
Not one step.
And so you tell them that, you said, no, don't do that.
It's A&M's fault, though.
It's
the article
A&M's
makes
fault.
It clear.
Yeah.
They're picking on A&M?
Oh, yeah. And I don't really mind, it, especially when they start being ugly to McKitchen and that bunch, who certainly deserve to be being ugly to. But this guy says, starts out first paragraph in the article.
First paragraph.
Texas A&M University had published an article stating that vineyards north of San Antonio, now to be more accurately, this is north of Fredericksburg, but that is north of San Antonio. North of San Antonio and west of Interstate 35.
Okay.
And more preferably west of Midland, Odessa, were safe from the disease that chokes a vine until it dies from thirst. Now, and A&M almost got sued over this thing. And you know what they pulled out to save their ass? I saved themselves from this. Asses in the Bible. Yeah.
Sure.
we spent a lot of time
an article
about
that
asps.
Save their ass.
An article that I wrote about 24 years ago, just basically reliving, stating the history that I had received from Mortensen and all these other people who went through the exact same cycle that these Texas grape growers are going through right now 70 years ago.
So you saved A&M's butt?
Well, they backed off when they saw it. It was published in Texas Gardener, and it basically told them that if you're going to grow grapes in Texas, you've got to not grow the vinifera, which they make wines from.
Okay.
But see, the deal is, these people don't want to grow the ones that the monks grew and made wine, and they don't want to grow the ones that the Qualias used and had made wine for 100 years. They want to grow a fine vintage wine.
Well, how did they
in the Carolinas, they're growing and making wines out of muscadines, which is the native grape of that area, and have developed a specialty wine that's not in competition with California wines, which have overproduced, and they dump hundreds of thousands of pounds of juice and grapes into the ocean every year to keep the market from being glutted. So you don't want to go in competition with an industry.
You've heard of Muscatel wine. That's that.
Yeah. You don't want to go in competition with an industry that's already overproducing. Even you would know that, Milton.
Hey, but it's a classy occupation, man.
Yeah.
And to give you an example, this person, and this is a lawyer, by the way, couldn't happen to a more deserving person. A lawyer lost about $220,000.
On cyclamen.
That is a quarter of $1 million.
That's Calvin cyclamen
money. On plants the first time he tried it, Milton.
Oh, dear.
Then he started with cheaper varieties.
Mm.
Now, after a quarter of $1 million, he started with cheaper varieties, Milton. And then the next, he said, I get tired of paying thousands of dollars out of pocket each year. It's been almost 6 years later, and still he has made no profit. No profit after 6 years, and over $500,000 lost.
Where's all his money going?
But next year.
So what's the point?
But next year.
I've been peaches for 10 years.
But next year should be the breakout year.
Should be?
Next year should be the breakout.
Well,
he's going to be breaking out of prison, out of bankruptcy prison.
Where is all the cost going?
They plant vines. They go for 2 or 3 years. It costs
several thousand dollars
an acre. And then the vines die.
Oh, okay.
See, this is what happened 70 years ago. And this happened in Mississippi. You know, you're talking about the west of 35. Mississippi, Florida, California. It was actually discovered in California. And it's all over the United States for 70 years. But it's worse here.
This, in Texas. What? This disease?
Pierce's disease.
Oh, okay.
And when Mortensen first saw it, they thought that all they had to beat was cotton root rot, the soil disease. And so he worked his entire lifetime developing a rootstock that would be resistant to the cotton root rot and the alkaline soil condition. Found them, and then put the tops on it, the tops died from Pierce's. So, see, it's not just that you got a good root system, you got to have a good top, too. These native grapes have been here hundreds of years. They're adapted to it. They don't get it. They're not as prevalent.
Hundreds of thousands of years.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I haven't been here but about 100. but anyway, so then they like to put it back on A&M. See, when you get a guy in the corner.
Yeah.
And we told him now, cotton root rot is not new. Pierce's is not new. A lot of work, let's say, little research takes place to divine the best varieties for each of the state's 7 grape-growing regions. Little research takes place to divine the best varieties for each of the state's 7 grape-growing regions, wine-making experts say. We've only been doing grape variety research or testing for the last 100 years. Now, varieties that we find that live and survive are not the varieties that they want to grow. So, little research takes place. See?
Mm.
They're discounting it. If you're not finding the answer that they want, then they assume that it's not anything being done. A lot of work is being done by guess. But in other words, they're trying to guess what's right. Texas A&M is not interested in helping in a serious way.
Ooh, man.
I mean by putting dollars into research. That is exactly right.
Is that a quote from somebody?
We do not want to pay millions of dollars into a lost cause.
Hey, we fund fire ant research.
Well, now that's not a lost cause. Phil and all of us are going to get them fire ants. They did before in Junction, Texas, when that was cotton root rot research. But nobody's growing wine grapes around Junction. And do you know why? They all died.
No. Huh.
If you're going to make a fool of yourself, don't try to blame somebody else for making a fool of yourself. That's all I got to say.
All right. You're an angry man.
I mean, if you want to go out here and try to grow, there's been more money lost on trying to grow kiwis in this area.
Why can't you grow kiwis?
Because there's the best place to grow kiwis in Texas, according to environment and everything, is Laredo, Texas. But the problem with kiwis is when the summer temperature gets to be a certain temperature, they quit growing. The vines quit growing. And also, they're very sensitive to sodium, which they have a lot of sodium in the water around Laredo, Texas. So that leaves no places that are good to grow kiwis in Texas.
Olives.
There's been
olives
more money.
Olives are next.
There's been more money lost on trying, and I'm talking millions. When I'm talking more money, I ain't talking $100. I'm talking millions of dollars have been lost by people trying to go against A&M's recommendations.
Apples.
Just in my
10 years, apples were a great example.
Apples have been the last. Kiwis have been a big crop. Apples has been a big crop. You know, you remember the apple industry of Texas? Cotton root rot. Everybody said, you can't beat cotton root rot. What? I mean, we tried everything. Sulfur and everything else.
Is there research on
cotton root rot?
On cotton root rot?
Forever.
The A&M plant pathology lab at A&M University was founded 70 years ago to try to figure out how to control cotton root rot. You know how much closer they are than they were 70 years ago, Milton? Not one inch. Because it's such a virulent, a massive, dynamic disease, fungus disease.
There were a lot of these kind of articles on the apple.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was a big investment. It was kind of like chinchillas, you know, invest in apples. and get rich, and Texas will be the apple growing. Calvin Lyons that Jerry talked about was telling everybody, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, and he got beat up a lot.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
In the papers and everything, and you know, and one of the bigger apple, if I called his name, you would know it, in this area that grows apples, and I only got one orchard left. They're not expanding. They only got one orchard left. The rest of them killed dead on a hammer.
Well, now, do they have experts that say that, like, for instance, on the apples?
No.
They don't have any evidence going
on? Well, they had.
They bring them in from other states.
Yeah, and they had a couple guys that were promoting the heck out of them that had, PhDs from outside. And
they had evidence to show that they would work?
Not great evidence, no. They spoke well, they were good salespeople, and they were confident.
But they weren't using any of their money, Milton.
Yeah. Oh, well, that'd make you confident.
I think they're someplace else promoting the apple industry now.
And in fact, in the grape industry, guess who they're calling in for their consultant, somebody from California. Say, that'd be like somebody calling somebody from California in to consult on plants to be sold here in San Antonio.
Well, in your opinion now, let's analyze this. 308-8867.
I'll be glad to give you an opinion, man.
Okay, in your opinion now, I'm sort of picturing the big meeting, the investors meeting when people are doing this. So this person who comes in from California, are they believing that because he has an expertise in grapes?
In California.
Right.
Well, there's another thing here, too. There's this irrational kind of... And I experienced it myself growing peaches. It's just... I mean, it's just... in your mind, this is a desirable way to live.
Okay.
And this should work, you know, on the surface. And it, I want it to work, so I'm going to look until I find somebody... That says it's going to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you will turn your, when people, rational people that have nothing to lose, which are all A&M people, come in and have nothing to lose, nothing invested, come in and tell you, according to our facts and data, you shouldn't be doing this. Well, you don't want to hear that. Well, the people don't want to hear that.
Well, assuming that you're rational and you're spending the money, I guess this is your money. I guess you don't want to believe it. I guess that you answered it there.
You
why
don't want to believe it.
Why do they think that the A&M people say that they can't do it?
Because
it a conspiracy theory?
Slow, yeah, they got it.
Slow, and they're just not aggressive. You know, they're not aggressive.
They just don't know.
Yeah. They don't think outside the box.
Unlike this guy from California who does know.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah. And see, they've done it in California. Why can't you do it in Texas? Even though we got 100 years of data to show... And several historical happenings that show that it's been here before and it's gone. And I tell you what we're in right in the middle of now is olives. I mean, since I've been here, we've got the grapes were the first thing. And then as Calvin said, the apples came along. Before I got here, the peaches. Did you hear about the South Texas peach industry?
Oh, yeah. Low
chill. They were going to grow low chill South Texas peaches, come on the market.
In May.
Before any other peach in the United States could come on the market and make millions.
And the worst thing that happened to me was that the first 2 years that worked. And then the Chilean peaches came on the market, and it was unbelievable. It's high quality. You know, so I said, I'm going to get rich. This is perfect. That prices are high, and I've only got a partial crop this year. And the stupid bankers were just as dumb as I was. You know?
But see, logically speaking, if you were to think of how much interest and money you could make with $1 million over the... Let's see, what did he say? He hadn't had a crop in six years.
Now he spent close to $1 million.
Yeah, 6 years and still no profit. Okay, if he'd have taken $500,000, let's say $500,000.
All right.
And invested it in some way, what would have been his returns over six years?
He had to believe his return was going to be better than...
You don't have to, because remember now, this is a kind of life that a lot of us want to live. And there's something inside us that says being a man of the land. And it's you know, and vineyards are elegant, you know.
Yeah.
And you can have your own wine, Grace.
Yeah, that's true.
See, if you brought me up here a Milton Baudet or whatever the wine is called, you know, with your picture on the bottle and your mama's picture on the bottle,
right,
that you grew the grapes in your own backyard and made them in your own wine, or, you know, you're going to be that to-do kind of person.
A Chardon Miltay.
Yeah.
Richard Becker, who's my neighbor, is mentioned in there, and he's got a successful vineyard. They win a lot of prizes, and he talks about having to get more patience.
Yeah,
because he's got to support his grape.
The funny, that's a funny quote in there.
Yeah, about him that some
the only reason they buy Becker wine is because there's patients by him.
Yeah, he's a great doctor.
He's a great doctor.
All right, we'll take a break. While we do, give us a call at 308-8867. 308-8867. You're listening to Milberger's Gardening South Texas on the Loop AM 930 KLUP.